Jai Advaita Chandra, Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra, Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna. So we are in the 11th chapter of the Adi Leela of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. And last night we were discussing about the wedding of Lord Chaitanya and Lakshmi Devi, and we were also we then read through about the very not mischievous but sort of kind of arrogant nature of Lord Chaitanya, how he would not take the devotees seriously, and his interactions with Mukunda, and how he appreciated Mukunda, even though on the surface he didn't agree with Mukunda, or he wouldn't agree, but actually appreciated the sincerity of Mukunda, who was a great devotee and a close associate of his at school. So we will carry on from that point. And what comes next is the reactions of some of the local people to the devotees. This is the 11th chapter of the Adi Leela, and we're going to beginning with verse 52. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Presta Utale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisheshishunyavadi Pastyachade Shatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Brahmanujyananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakatribhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So yes, we've been talking here and there from time to time. We've been talking a little bit about how in Navadvip, the town or even city of Navadvip, that even though there was a community of devotees and some very wonderful and very advanced devotees, Advaita Acharya and others, but actually so many people living in Navadvip were not devotees. They were quite staunch non-devotees in many cases. Although they were religious, but just in a very materialistic sense, means they were worshipping demigods for material gain. And beyond that, they had no real interest in religion. Elsewhere it's pointed out that their only religious, at least for some, however many of them, the only religious practice they did was when their children had to be married, then they arranged some program for the wedding. But beyond that, they were just pounds, shillings, and pence, rands and cents, dollars and cents people, and that's all. And with those types of interests, when they would see the devotees engaged in Harinam, for example, and there are many advanced devotees, and oftentimes when there was Harinam, they would get into it. In our little kirtans we have here, the devotees get into it. Yes, it's nice. But not like that. Oh, they would be flying. They would be flying. It was just out of control sometimes. Well, a lot of the time was out of control, and the staunch non-devotees, Mayavadis, Karmakandiya people, people of these different types, they disliked the devotees intensely, and they would mock the devotees and try to chastise the devotees. Even we read, as time goes on a bit from where we're up to now, but even at that time, some of them actually went to the Chand Qazi, who is the Muslim ruler or governor of that region, and complained to the Chand Qazi that these people, because the Chand Qazi was sort of tolerant, at least, you know, he'd let the Hindus go on generally. So they went to the Chand Qazi and told him that this is not real Hinduism. These are fake Hindus. And they're an embarrassment to our religion. You've got to do something about it. So like this, they tried to stimulate the Qazi to take action against the devotees who were doing Harinam, particularly about the Harinams. And that's not nice, is it? When some of your own people turn the government against you and try and get you closed down, sure, that's terrible. But this is what was happening. So, here, there are some things. This is the next little section in this 11th chapter. So, in this way, the devotees resided in Navadvip, which was filled with people intoxicated by wealth and children. As soon as such people heard the devotees' kirtan, they taunted the devotees. Someone said, this is just a means for filling their stomachs. Another said, they have given up the cultivation of knowledge to dance like madmen. What kind of behavior is this? Yeah. Someone else said, I have studied Srimad Bhagavatam for a long time, but I have never found any mention of dancing and crying as a spiritual path. Someone else said, my dear brothers, because of Srivas and his three brothers, we cannot sleep after eating. Is that, anyway, listen to this. Is there no piety in softly chanting Krishna's names? Does one have to chant, dance, and shout loudly? In this way, all the sinful atheists abused the Vaishnavas whenever they saw them. So, hearing their abusive words, the devotees were greatly distressed. But they continued chanting Krishna's names and crying loudly. They were crying out, "How long will this miserable condition last? Oh, Krishna Chandra, please manifest yourself to these people." So now is an interesting little development. The devotees go to Advaita Acharya and explain their problems to him. And of course, Advaita Acharya, he is not to be taken lightly. He's a great devotee, leader of the Vaishnavas in Navadvipa. And what to speak of being an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the Vaishnavas all told Advaita Prabhu about the abusive words of the atheists. Hearing their account, Advaita Acharya became as angry as Lord Rudra and loudly exclaimed, "I will kill them all! My Lord who carries a chakra is coming. Then you will see what happens in Nadia. I will make Krishna appear before the eyes of all. Then this person named Advaita will be known as the servant of Krishna." So Advaita continued, "Please wait a few days more, my dear brothers, and you will see Krishna right here." After hearing the words of Advaita, all the devotees forgot their distress and began kirtan. So as the auspicious sound of Krishna's holy names arose further and further, the devotees in ecstasy cried. The pains caused by the atheists' abusive words were mitigated as the city of Navadvipa became filled with ecstasy. Okay, one moment. Right. So all these things were going on. The atheists and materialists were absorbed in their nonsense activities and were criticizing the devotees, and the devotees were continuing with their Harinam. Yes. So then, a very special thing happened. devotees. In the meantime, the great Ishvarapuri came in disguise to Navadvipa. Ishvarapuri was great, a very great devotee. He was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And you may remember how a couple of weeks ago, or something like that, maybe a bit less, we were reading about Lord Nityananda's pilgrimage. And when he was on pilgrimage, he met Madhavendra Puri. And we actually read, I don't know if you recall, but we did read that when Lord Nityananda met Madhavendra Puri, and there was a whole group of disciples on pilgrimage with Madhavendra Puri, we read that Sri Ishvarapuri was there amongst them. Ishvarapuri, disciple of Madhavendra Puri, he was there, and so he met Lord Nityananda. He witnessed the amazing Krishna consciousness of Lord Nityananda. He witnessed the incredible exchanges between Lord Nityananda and Madhavendra Puri. Yes. So this that was some years before. Well, wait a minute. It was a little while before, not so long before. Some time before. Then Madhavendra Puri left this world, and Ishvarapuri became just a traveling mendicant, going from holy place to holy place, preaching and living a life like that. So, at some point in his travels, he came to Navadvipa, but he came in disguise. This is what Chaitanya Bhagavat says. So, he was in disguise, but he was overwhelmed by love for Krishna. And when someone is overwhelmed like that, it's very hard for them to disguise themselves. He was physically disguised, that's what it says, maybe some unusual type of clothing that devotees didn't really wear so much, perhaps that's a possibility. But his Krishna consciousness, his state of consciousness, and the manifestations of his elevated consciousness in his body, they really showed who he was. So it says, wearing that dress, or so it was dress, wearing that dress, no one could recognize him as he arrived by providence at the house of Advaita. So he arrived at the house of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya at that time was doing his puja. His puja meant he had a Shalagram Shila, and he would worship the Shalagram Shila with Ganges water and tulsi leaves. And it was a very simple program, actually. Very simple program. But he would do it, and he would really get into it, offering Ganges water, tulsi leaves, sometimes some sweets. So Ishvarapuri, this very special, special devotee, sat down near to Advaita Acharya, while Advaita Acharya was doing his puja. Yes. And of course, you know, we should bear in mind that Isharapuri, I said he's a very special devotee, so that's okay, but you may know the story. I can't remember when I last told it here. I've told it before. That when Madhavendra Puri was in the process of leaving this world, he was on his deathbed, unable to move. Then, you know, it's a bit of a long story, the whole thing, but at least in regard to Isharapuri, Isharapuri, disciple, he came to pay his last respects. And he saw, there's my spiritual master. Obviously, his time is coming. And he is very much inconvenienced by his deteriorated bodily condition. So I should render some service to him. So Isharapuri, who was already a sannyasi, that's how he had the name Puri. It's a standard, what would you say, like a sort of ending or suffix or title for sannyasis in that line. So he looked after Madhavendra Puri so extremely nicely, so dedicated, doing anything, and no inconvenience was too much for him. He just continued cleaning up the stool and urine of Madhavendra Puri with his own hands, and just doing everything. And while he was doing everything, he was chanting the holy names. And just non-stop, chanting and chanting in ecstasy. And as a result, Madhavendra Puri was extremely pleased. So he blessed him. May you become a great devotee and a great lover of God. And if you read, it's in the Ancha Lila actually, there's the story there of Ramachandra Puri, who was another disciple of Madhavendra Puri, and who was not nice. Isharapuri was nice, but Ramachandra Puri was not nice. So, you know, like I said, it's a long story, but Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that Isharapuri received blessings because of his nice service, blessings from Madhavendra Puri, whereas Ramachandra Puri received a rebuke. You know, it sort of indicates something like rejection. It's maybe not quite the same, but it's not just a chastisement. Chastisement can be done for the benefit of a person, even though something is pointed out in a negative context. But rebuke is basically like, get out, I don't want to see you. So that's what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says. That Ramachandra Puri received a rebuke from Madhavendra Puri. As a result, he became fallen. He became degraded. Whereas Isharapuri received a blessing from Madhavendra Puri, and he became such a great devotee that when Lord Chaitanya met him, Lord Chaitanya felt, what a wonderful devotee. I want to accept him as my spiritual master. And he did. He did. So like this, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, therefore these two people are examples of a great devotee's rebuke and a great devotee's blessing. That's something we should remember. So he sat down near to Advaita as Advaita was performing his puja. And Chaitanya Bhagavat says, the effulgence of a Vaishnava cannot be hidden from other Vaishnavas. You know, a devotee may try to disguise himself, hide himself from other devotees, but they'll understand, aha, here's a devotee. Yes, all right. And therefore, so the effulgence of a Vaishnava cannot be hidden from another Vaishnava, and therefore Advaita Prabhu looked at him again and again, because he's in disguise. So Advaita was puzzled, but basically he was feeling this is a great devotee. Advaita then said, dear Prabhu, who are you? I think you're a Vaishnav sannyasi. Ishwarapuri replied, I am lower than a sudra. I have come here simply to see your lotus feet. So what a beautiful exchange. And particularly Ishwarapuri, it's just so much the consciousness of a deep, very deep Vaishnava. Who are you? I'm a nonsense. Lower than a sudra. And I've come here just to see your lotus feet. So now, Mukunda, understanding the situation, what's going on here, that actually this disguised person is actually a great devotee. So understanding the situation, Mukunda began to sing a song about Krishna with great devotion. As the sound of Mukunda's singing entered his ears, Sri Ishwarapuri fell to the ground. Incessant tears flowed from his eyes, and the waves of his love increased again and again. Advaita Prabhu hastily took him in his arms, and his entire body became wet with tears. Advaita's body. The symptoms of ecstatic love continued to increase rather than diminish as Mukunda began to loudly recite appropriate verses. The Vaishnavas' hearts were filled with incomparable happiness as they saw their transformations of ecstatic love. Later, when they learned that he was Ishwarapuri, the devotees all remembered Lord Hari. In this way, as Ishwarapuri wandered about Navadvipa in disguise, no one was able to recognize him. So, now, this is interesting, and it's all interesting, but this is particularly interesting. One day, as Sri Gaurasundar was returning from school, who should he meet in the road but Sri Ishwarapuri? Seeing his eternal servant, the Lord offered him obeisances. Vishvambar's personal beauty was indescribable. He was the reservoir of all extraordinary qualities. When Ishwarapuri saw Nimai's features, he could understand that Nimai was a most great and elevated personality. Ishwarapuri inquired, "O best of the Brahmins, what is your name? What are you studying and teaching? And where do you live?" When the others replied, "He is Nimai Pandit," Ishwarapuri joyfully said, "So, you are Nimai." The Lord invited Ishwarapuri for lunch and then respectfully brought him home. Mother Sachi prepared an offering for Krishna, and after honoring the prasad, Ishwarapuri sat in the temple room. Thereafter, Ishwarapuri became fully absorbed while describing topics of Lord Krishna. So then, Ishwarapuri stayed for some months in Navadvip. I may have said some days or a week or a couple of weeks ago, he stayed with Jagannath Mishra, but no, it's not accurate. He stayed with Gopinath Acharya, who's the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So, yes. And Lord Chaitanya Nimai would regularly go to visit Ishwarapuri. Because Nimai, even though he's not openly displaying his Krishna consciousness, but still he felt a great attraction for this great devotee, and therefore he would associate with him regularly. So let's see. Ishwarapuri instructed Gadadhar Pandit to study a book which he had written himself, means Ishwarapuri had written, named Krishna Lilamrita. So in the evening, Nimai would go and visit him. And Ishwarapuri, of course, was very happy to see Nimai, even though he didn't know who he was. But still he felt love for him. So here's an interesting little point we'll conclude with. Ishwarapuri said, "You are a big scholar. I have written a book about Lord Krishna. That book is available. It's called Krishna Lilamrita, The Nectar of Krishna's Pastimes." So Ishwarapuri said to Nimai, "I would be most satisfied if you would tell me if there's any fault in my book." The Lord replied, "Whoever finds fault in a devotee's description of Lord Krishna is a sinful person. Krishna is certainly pleased with his devotee's poetry, even if it is imperfectly composed." So, like this, Lord Chaitanya tried to avoid sort of like editing or proofreading this book of Ishwarapuri. In very humble ways, he tried to avoid, saying that if I find fault in the work of a great devotee like you, then that will be my fault. To which Ishwarapuri responded, "Well, the Lord said, who will dare find fault with your devotional descriptions of Krishna's pastimes?" To which Ishwarapuri said, "You will not be at fault, but you must tell me if there's any error in the book." So thereafter, Nimai would sit every day for 1 hour, for 2 hours a day, discussing the book, and like studying, evaluating the book in the company of Ishwarapuri. So, one day, the Lord smiled while reading one particular page of Krishna Lilamrita. The Lord smiled and said here, the verb, the form of the verb in this sentence is incorrect. You know, we've all been in school. We've all studied verbs. In Sanskrit, it's a whole science. Whole science. So he said, and in this regard, there are two forms of verbs. One is called Atmanepad, and the other is called Parasmaipad. And they're specific forms. You know, honestly, I couldn't tell you what's the difference between them right now. So the Lord said that you have used the Atmanepad form. You should have used the Parasmaipad. It's sort of like the difference between saying, I am coming and I will come, or something like that. These are verbal forms, you know, they're very similar, but there's difference between I am coming and I will come. Somewhat subtle, but there's definitely a difference. So between the Atmanepad and Parasmaipad forms of verbs, there are differences like that. It's not like the difference between I was going and I will go, where you just, it's just that two completely different forms, but there's some subtle difference. So after Nimai left, Ishvarapuri thought for many hours, is he right? Is Nimai right? Or am I right? And you know what happened? Ishvarapuri concluded that he was right and Nimai was wrong. So, the next day, Nimai came and Ishvarapuri explained that I have concluded that the verb that you said yesterday that should be Parasmaipad should remain Atmanepad. And when the Lord heard his explanation, he was most satisfied with his devotee's victory. So, yeah, Ishvarapuri was practically the only person who ever defeated Lord Chaitanya in anything, particularly anything scholarly. And so the verse says, the Vedas declare that the Lord by nature always expands his devotees' glories by making them victorious. Whoever hears the auspicious topics about Sri Ishvarapuri lives at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna eternally. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.